JT, live in Vegas.
From the Las Vegas Strip, right to our studios on Flamingo.
Woohoo!
I'm here because I got to put two kids through college.
LeBron.
We ask everybody to participate, from Uber drivers to taxi drivers to bartenders. I mean, I never slow down. I stand up in the studio. I'm excited to be on the radio. I like energetic callers who have opinions. Sound off like you got a pair.
Woohoo!
Oh, I'm cranky Yankee. How do the Yankees lose a game like this? Are you kidding me?
And now, live from Las Vegas, here's JT the Brick.
Thanks for joining us. JT with you today, back from Napa and Raiders training camp. Fun show lined up today as we are brought to you by Golden Entertainment, the home of PT, Sierra Gold, Sean Patrick, the SG Bar, and the Football Pick'em. One overall tavern winner each week will win their choice of $500 in free slot play or $500 in a bar tab during college and pro football season. They'll be your home to put your fantasy draft together. We'll have more information on that coming up. Head on out to PT's. The happy hour starts at 5. It goes from 5 to 7 and then from midnight to 2 a.m. Great trip up in Napa. I have so much to tell you. What we want to do, what we will do, is we'll be your authority on Raider football. And if you have any questions, concerns, comments on the Raiders, we want to get that going now. The Raiders will be here in 2 years. We will be a big part of what the Raiders are doing on the radio. And I want to hear from you when you have any question, any concern, any opinion, anything that's hot, let's get it going. Again, because it's not a podcast, it's a live show. Everybody wants to hear my opinion, I think. Sometimes they want to hear yours. You have different opinions than me. Always use the number at 876-1340. That number is for you. This building didn't use that number years ago. We use it every day. They don't use it on national shows. We use it on this local show. Let's hear from you coming off the weekend. 876-1340. And I'm on Twitter at JT the Brick. Napa was excellent. I went on a deep dive with the Raiders getting ready for preseason. The first Raiders preseason game a week from Friday as they are home in Oakland. John Gruden's first game against Detroit. I'll be anchoring the broadcast on TV. That'll be on Fox 5 here locally and doing halftime, doing the Gruden interview at halftime. So I had to go up there, meet with John Gruden. I met his entire coaching staff, had some private time talking to some of the coaches who I didn't know, from Paul Gunther, who's the defensive coordinator, to Tom Cable, who I know well. Got a chance to lock in with him on the offensive line. And then some of the new position coaches who are out there to try to turn the team around. There is a lot of talk within the Raiders right now because Khalil Mack isn't signed. And there's a lot of people who don't know squat about this conversation that are talking and running their mouth. And the only people that know what's going on are John Gruden, Reggie McKenzie, the owner, Mark Davis, and the agent for Khalil Mack. It's not that complicated. It's the Raiders have to pay Khalil Mack one of the highest paid contracts in NFL history, possibly in the top two or three of the defensive players who ever lived. I believe he deserves that. But the Raiders have to find a way to structure the contract after structuring Derek Carr's contract. Remember, Derek Carr, when they put his contract together, he was the highest paid quarterback for a week in the history of the game before guys like Matthew Stafford and Kirk Cousins broke the bank after him. And it's going to be the same thing with Mack. The three best players in their prime in the NFL on defense, no debate, are Von Miller, Aaron Donald, and Khalil Mack. Aaron Donald's waiting on a contract. Khalil Mack is waiting on a contract. And if you look at these great young defensive players, they want to get paid like quarterbacks. And I think a guy like Khalil Mack is going to deserve to get what he gets because he's that good of a player. But John Gruden, and we'll play that interview again for this audience coming up on this show, exclusively told us, and we broke news, that he did talk to Mack after he got hired. Now, they haven't spoken since, but a lot of people were saying they've never talked, and that wasn't the case. John Gruden told us that they did speak. Now it's in the hands of an agent who's pretty tough, and Reggie McKenzie, the general manager, who are trying to come to terms on a long-term contract extension if they're able to do that. You know, a lot of people panic. I'm going to be talking about this at the top of the hour on the national show. The NFL offseason now has become so toxic that all the information is negative. It's all gossip. It's about who's holding out and why. Who wants a new contract and should be paid? What coach is on the hot seat? Who's not playing well? Who's injured? Who had a meltdown on Twitter like Dez Bryant? You rarely hear anything good. If you're looking to sports talk radio in the NFL offseason to be positive, you're not going to get a lot of positivity coming into the offseason. And I think that's just the way the NFL has been over the last couple of years with the anthem policy, what's been happening with domestic issues, domestic violence, what is happening with drugs and social issues, what is happening on social media. A lot of the good stories, like who's playing well, who's competing for the backup wide receiver job, none of that gets through the noise, even locally. What we do is we're talking more about the negativity of every football team. I mean, Tom Brady walked off a press conference because they tried to tie Julian Edelman's suspension with his trainer, Alex Guerrero, and Brady said, I'm done. You got a few minutes to hear Brady talk. Nope, I'm done. I don't like that question. We're off. And now the sky is falling in New England that Brady's upset. So we're going to have a couple positive interviews today. I talked to Derek Johnson, who's the new linebacker coming over for Kansas City for this show. Spoke to him, and I spoke to the first-round pick, Colt Miller, for this show exclusively. We'll play that a little bit later on the show. The first-round pick, the head coach, and obviously the new linebacker. Tomorrow, we'll play my Derek Carr interview. If you didn't hear that on the night show, Derek Carr was exceptional, and we'll get into that and what Derek Carr thinks about the upcoming season. Gerrion Conley, the Raiders' number one pick from last year who couldn't get on the field and be healthy, now looks to be, Ian Rappaport reporting that it could be 3 weeks in regards to a hip strain, also according to Jim Trotter. That's not good. When I was up there and saw Gerrion Conley at practice the first day, he looked really good. A matter of fact, George Atkinson, one of their great legends, was with me on the sidelines and said, when I look at him, it looks like I'm looking at Mike Haynes. He's tall. He's very athletic. But he's got to stay healthy. You've got to be available in the NFL and when you're a top pick. I've always said on this show, if you're a first-round draft pick, a team drafts you because you don't know if you're going to win or lose. You like to win. You don't know if you're going to win. But if you're taken in the first round, you're supposed to be a Pro Bowler throughout your career or somewhere during your career. The Raiders are struggling now drafting players like Carl Joseph, Gerrion Conley, Obi Melanfanu, and some of the other high draft picks over the last couple of years, A, because they're not living up to the hype, or they can't get on the field and stay on the field for being healthy. This Colt Miller kid, the offensive lineman from UCLA, looks to be the real deal. He's the size of a casino. He's a monster. If they can get him up to play, it'll be interesting to see the role of Donald Penn going forward, as Donald Penn's a really important part, three-time Pro Bowler for the Raiders at left tackle. But he's got to be available, and he's got to be healthy. A couple other takeaways for the Raiders at training camp. They're the only football team that I think does this. Only one. There's 32 teams. As they opened camp, they brought back 110 alumni. I hung out during dinner with Todd Marinovich. Remember him? Lester Hayes. I mean, going back to all these legends, Phil Villapiano, guys come back, Cliff Branch, George Atkinson, players, Vance Mueller from every different generation, guys like Jim Otto and Clem Daniels in their 70s and 80s, and the owner, Mark Davis. There's no other owner that does that. I mean, owners will bring back alumni for a Ring of Honor ceremony or something like that, but no other owner in the NFL says, we're open for business. All you guys are invited back. We'll pay for your airfare. We'll put you up in a hotel, and we'll throw a big event at a vineyard. And that was really cool to connect with a lot of the veteran alumni of the Silver and Black, who are really optimistic that John Gruden is back. In regards to John Gruden, he is a rock star at a level that I haven't seen in my 23 years of being on the radio and upcoming 20 with the Raiders. When he walks into a room with just Raider alumni, he can't walk 2 feet without being mobbed and having to take selfies for 15 minutes. You know, usually you show up, you're with your own people, you're with your family, you're with the people you work with, everybody gives you a break. John Gruden is a lightning rod of energy and enthusiasm. And there's been some criticism that he's been out of the league for 10 years. How will he perform? John Gruden, can he connect with some of the younger players? I can tell you, for spending the last 3 days with John Gruden, he is as fired up, as educated and prepared as anyone in this league. I'll roll the dice. If I'm wrong, you know where to find me. I believe the 10 years off for him was the biggest break and benefit for the history of the Raiders in the last 20 to 25 years, where they haven't been winning really since John Gruden left. John Gruden comes back with a wealth of knowledge now with the rest of the league. He studied the entire league, let alone his team. So when he goes into a meeting to prepare for the LA Rams, the first game on Monday Night Football, Sean McVay, the head coach that he's going up against, grew up and learned under Gruden. Gruden knows every one of his tendencies and everything Gruden taught him. When Gruden plays in week two against the Denver Broncos, Gruden has studied the Denver Broncos as a broadcaster, has been behind the scenes of the Broncos, has every play that they ran for the last 10 years, knows every player inside and out, is prepared for the Denver Broncos. Who else can you say that about? What are you going to say that about a coach who was fired from another team? Say you were fired. Ben McAdoo was fired by the Giants. He didn't get hired as a head coach. If he gets hired 2 years from now, you're going to say, oh my God, Ben McAdoo's the coach of our team. Or you look at some of these other coaches around the league, they don't have the knowledge that Gruden has. But can Gruden draw up the plays and be so explosive that the Raiders can win with an average defense? See, if the Raiders get Mac, which I assume they're going to get Mac, and then if Garyon Conley can be healthy, along with their other draft picks that they brought in, Arden Key off the edge, Hurst, they got a couple other really sharp new draft picks and a bunch of other players. I think that the Raiders can score over 30 points on average every game, but they'll need to do that because their defense has got to prove that they can get off the field. So my takeaway from being up in Napa is that the Raiders' offense, if all healthy, will line up with Donald Penn, Colt Miller, Kelechi Osemele, Pro Bowler, Rodney Hudson, Pro Bowler, Gabe Jackson, great, one of the best young guards in the league. They'll have Jordy Nelson, Martavis Bryant, Amari Cooper. They got four other wide receivers who can make the team that are good. They're going to have Marshawn Lynch. They're going to have Doug Martin. They got a new fullback, and they're going to have depth at the running back position. If that's not good enough to go out and score 30 points a game, the Raiders are in trouble. So you got the mad scientist in Gruden, Greg Olsen, his offensive coordinator, Tom Cable, former head coach, ripping up the offensive line saying, throw out your press clippings. I don't care how great you think you are. You're going to bust your ass every day for me. If that offense doesn't get going, then the Raiders could have an average or difficult season. If that offense plays at a level that is expected or better, I think that the Raiders are going to be a team. They're going to surprise a lot of people. I've seen everything from 5-11 to 7-9 to 8-8 to 10-6. Where do you think the Raiders are going to be heading into the season? 8-7-6-13-40. The win total, if you're a guy who thinks 8.5, 9 wins, let me know why you're going over or fading the team at 8-7-6-13-40. Because I got strong opinions on this team, but I put myself in the penalty box. Because last year I predicted them to be a Super Bowl team, and I couldn't have been more wrong. I'm not in the prediction business. I'm not a scammer. I don't have a 900 number. I'm not begging to go 51% to make you money. I put people on the radio who can make you money. I have to have predictions because it's in my job title. But overall, this is going to be an interesting. And you know, I think Peter King, a couple other people said this is going to be a, you know, make or break or a bust or a, you know, breakout season. Everybody's mixed on the Raiders. Everybody's mixed on them. Everybody thinks the Chargers are the best team in that division. Kansas City's breaking in a brand new quarterback. Denver's got a new quarterback and a system coming in. And the Raiders have a potential MVP candidate in Derek Carr. I think Carr and Gruden are going to be fabulous together. I really do. I don't think I'm going out on a limb there. I think that John Gruden with Derek Carr is a lot better than Jack Del Rio and Todd Downing with Derek Carr. And Carr's had some big games. But his confidence needed to be rebuilt. I sat down with Derek 2 times up in camp, and he's got a big smile on his face. He's the leader of the team. He's not worried about Khalil Mack. He's not worried about anything. They're just going to try to win games. But this town is ready to talk Raider football, just like the Vegas Golden Knights. And it's time to start getting behind this team. That means education in the preseason. That means understanding the highs and the lows of this team and understanding what they're eventually going to do when they get to Vegas. There is no Vegas talk from John Gruden. None. None. There's not going to be any. He's Oakland. He's Oakland. He's black hole. He's hardcore black hole in Oakland. He has nothing against Vegas at all, but he's there to win in Oakland. As I said last year and as we launched this show in this time slot, I said that the goal is to get the Raiders to win a championship in Oakland before they get to Las Vegas. I would hope in the next 3 years or 4 years, depending on where your season tickets are, that you're seeing a team playing deep into the playoffs or at least playing for a Super Bowl. And I think that will happen as we get going. A lot of other news going on around the NFL. I talked about the interesting part of the Dallas Cowboys. Basically, Jerry Jones has been told now to back off his anthem comments. The owners have now told him to do that. His son, Stephen Jones, is speaking up in regards to being a part of the Cowboys, following along with the vision of ownership of the Dallas Cowboys.
We certainly are supportive of them when they have their personal issues or their personal things that they want to pursue, and we'll help them pursue them on Tuesdays. But when you're wearing the Dallas Cowboy uniform and a Dallas Cowboy helmet and you're working for the Dallas Cowboys, you check the I and the me at the door and you're a part of a team. There's bright lines in terms of our organization.
For Stephen Jones, who will eventually own the Dallas Cowboys after his dad relinquishes ownership at some point in his life, he is a leader. He understands the tradition of the Cowboys and what it takes to play for this team.
And you don't feel you'll have any backlash, or as far as players on your team, they'll follow the rules that you guys have?
If they want to be a Dallas Cowboy, yes.
So that's it. That's what now has Roger Goodell and the NFL owners saying, can you guys please tone it down on the anthem? Because now we have to deal with this, and we don't want to deal with this. I support the Jones vision of, if you're a member of a team, you follow the team rules. I follow the team rules in this building when I come to work and at Fox Sports Radio. I have rules that I follow. What I do on my own time, if I stay out of trouble, they stay out of my business. If you're going to play for most of these NFL teams, the owners are going to want you to toe the line, be there on the sidelines for the national anthem. That will not go away. But every time it's brought up, it's kerosene on the fire. Every time it's brought up, guys like Malcolm Jenkins of the Eagles have strong opinions in regards to the players and the union.
Been very supportive of us from the beginning. I don't see Jeffrey as a bully like Jerry Jones is. And so, you know, lucky for me, I don't play for the Cowboys, nor would I want to.
And what he's saying that in that regards is, on Philadelphia, he'll be able to stand with his hand in the air in protest because he feels he has an owner that will allow him to do that. And he will. And Mark Davis is different than the other owners, and the Rooney family's different. Everybody has different opinions, and the owners will handle it. Just like we talk about politics. Is it a federal law? No, we're going to turn it over to the states. Same thing with the NFL. The NFL is going to have their ruling, and then the owners are going to go to their players and say, hey, even though you break the rule, I'll let you do it. I'll pay the fine. Well, some owners are going to say, if you do break the rule, you're going to pay the fine, and I'm going to kick you off the team. And that still remains one of the big topics out there. We'll get into baseball all week. The trade deadline coming up here. The Yankees, their improved pitching, or what the Astros are doing, what some of the other teams. The Red Sox, every time I look up, they're winning or in a position to win. And there's a lot of news there in baseball. I have John Paul Morosi, who's going to join me at 5:30 to talk about the deadline and what's happening there. And a lot of LeBron James news as he opened up his first school, his academy today back in Akron, Ohio, and I think that is fantastic. That whatever you think of LeBron James, I think he's a diva. I think he's a guy who gets coaches fired. He's one of the greatest players of all time, and he really is following the vision of other great leaders when it comes to education in this country. He's building a school to help young kids who can't afford school and give them everything they need. What more matters than that? I mean, Kevin Durant is sitting there wondering what everybody's tweeting about. You know, Kevin Durant's DM and other people saying, don't get me involved with this. LeBron James is going back and building high schools and lower-end schools for kids to get a start in life. I think this is a great story. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. When we come back, my conversation with John Gruden, the head coach of the Raiders. It was great to reconnect with him. And we'll have a lot with him this year. It's going to be great to talk to him throughout the season about the Raiders as they try to return and return to the postseason. That is the goal. We're brought to you by the Henderson Hyundai Superstore on Boulder Highway in Henderson. Stop on by, say hello to Frank. He talks sports and he has deals. Silver and Black, John Gruden joins me. Coach, great to see you.
Man, it's great to see you. The ghost of JT the Brick, man. 20 years it's been since I've really sat down and talked to you.
You know, it's been great because back then you treated me good. We had so much fun back in the day, and you went on to so many great accomplishments, especially as a broadcaster. Camp kicks open with your veterans. How does it feel emotionally to be back running this team from camp?
Well, it's exciting. I went to Ricky's Sports Bar in Oakland and had a pep rally just to get my game face on. We got a great group of guys. You'll see that. These are very focused men. It's a great combination of, I think, a very good draft class and some veteran presence. That is very important. I think it's a unique blend. We're going to have a competitive camp. We're going to work hard, and we're going to get work done.
Coach, your philosophy in camp, because covering camps for all these years, some teams come in and they're riding the high of a 12-win season. Other teams maybe have three or four wins, and there's a sense of urgency. You're back now with a lot of new players. I like how you're building the depth on this roster. Your message to your team tonight on the focus to get ready and start winning again.
Well, when I first got here, I challenged them to get in great condition and learn our system of football. And when they showed up today, the conditioning was not a problem. They all met their weights. They've been working. They've learned our system. And now it's a matter of backing it up, going out there and stringing quality days together. We've got an excellent coaching staff, and we're very ambitious in what we want to get done. The quarterback, Carr, can do just about anything we ask him to. So it's up to everybody on the offense to play to his speed. And Derek Johnson, our new linebacker from Kansas City, is going to allow us to do a lot of things and be multiple on defense. And with that said, we've got a lot to prove we can accomplish.
Let's start again with Derek Carr and how much you can put on his plate. I watched you, what you did with Rich Gannon. He was an older player at that time, but he developed into an MVP. After the Christmas Eve injury 2016, what Derek Carr has been dealing with, he gets bigger and stronger every year. He becomes a better leader. How hard do you have to push him right out of the gate to get this back on track?
We've been pushing each other. We've had a blast. I mean, he's wearing me out. He's knocking on my door at 9 o'clock at night already. I'm waking up at 5 there, 5 in the morning. There he is again. He loves it. He has a passion for football. He has a passion for winning. And if you're a Raider fan, get a ticket and come watch this kid play. He's going to have a heck of a year. And it's a matter, like I said, of getting Jordy Nelson to play to his level. We got to get Amari Cooper to play to a level that no one else is in the league. We love Jared Cook. We think Derek Carrick is going to be a good tight end. And we also feel like we can run the football with these backs in this offensive line. So there's a lot of excitement.
What about Carr making plays outside the pocket? I look back at your entire career from the early years with the Niners, with Montana and Young, Mike Holmgren with Brett Favre, Randall Cunningham. You like a quarterback that when a pocket breaks down can run to the pylon, can make a play, throw it across his body. Talk about Carr and what you would like him to do to take his game outside the pocket to the next level.
Well, it's like you've been in our meetings. You know, we need to extend some plays. He's athletic. He can run under 4.6. The guy's very athletic. He can throw the ball from all kind of awkward deliveries. He's got to run for some first downs. You know, Gannon, I think, had a different style than this man. This guy can really throw the football. He can make any throw you can dream up, and I know you got a wild imagination. So he wants to stay in there and throw the ball, but I do think he's going to be looking to take off a little bit more than years past.
John Gruden's our guest. Can you talk about evaluating Marshawn Lynch, deciding to go with him again? He's here at camp. He looked great today in shape. You bring in Doug Martin. We just had Jalen Richard. I talked to him. It seems like that running back room is really focused. It's going to be very competitive. What shined for you when you looked at Marshawn Lynch on tape?
Well, he's still a beast. I broadcast the last regular season game in Philadelphia. He's still a man that you have to bring down physically. He is a hard-running dude, and he's 232 pounds today, which is as light as he's been in a while. Yeah. And Doug Martin is an outstanding player. He's run for 1,500 yards twice in this league. he came in here in tremendous shape. That's a great 1-2 combination. And I think DeAndre Washington and Jalen Richard are two completely different backs that are very capable. We're fortunate to have four really good ones.
This old line, I said on the radio, and a lot of listeners said they were buying into their hype last year. A lot of them know they're Pro Bowlers. KO's unbelievable. Rodney Hudson won the Commitment Excellence Award. Gabe Jackson, a great draft pick. Donald Penn starting off on the pup. How do you get these guys to play better? They're Pro Bowlers. There's some great guys in that room, but they got to play better to take this team to the next level.
I think it's going to start with giving Derek Carr a lot more responsibility at the line of scrimmage. I think they're in much better shape, too, JT. You'll see Osemele's 315 pounds. Donald Penn is on PUP, but you're going to like everything you see from Colton Miller.
Yeah.
And we've got a battle at right tackle. David Sharp was 370 pounds in the offseason. He's down to 338. And Breno Giacomini's here to compete. We drafted Brandon Parker in the third round. Let the best man win. So competition, conditioning, I think is going to have a lot to do with it. And we're also asking him to be very focused because the quarterback has free reign to change plays.
John Gruden's our guest. We move to defense, and Khalil Mack's not here. Obviously, he's looking for a new contract. It blew up today. Everybody's talking about the fact that you haven't spoke to him. Do you want to speak to him? Do you plan on speaking to him? What is that concept like? Because you're a master communicator, and he's one of the best players in the league.
Well, I did speak with him when I got the job. When I first got hired, I spoke with him. He's been a hard guy to get in contact with lately for obvious reasons. You know, this is a great football player. Not only that, he's a great guy. And everybody on our team respects him and loves him, and we hope to get him in here soon. I think Reggie McKenzie's the guy you should talk to. He's the man talking to Joel Siegel, the agent. And we'll just cross our fingers. And in the meantime, we brought in Arden Key in the third round to make a difference. Let's go. And Bruce Irvin's back at his natural position. Faldo Brown, some of these newcomers have got to take the ball and run with it until Khalil gets here. We hope it's soon.
And we're all hoping it's soon. But one more follow-up on Khalil. He's one of the best players I've seen talent-wise since Lawrence Taylor and Von Miller. What a disruptor. What he can do for you again. And he seems to be a great guy. I don't see Khalil buying into the hype that I saw on SportsCenter today where you guys aren't talking. I would assume he could pick up the phone. You could pick up the phone. Reggie could talk to his agent. The agent plays a role in all of this, but you're going to be dealing with media tomorrow who are going to be lining up and asking you about Khalil Mack.
I don't have much to say other than you're going to have to ask Reggie McKenzie. You're going to have to ask Joel Siegel. You're going to have to ask Khalil himself because I'm going to meetings, man. I'm going to put some plays in tonight. I am so excited to be back on the field, and we'll coach the guys that are here and hope for the best.
I love what you did on the defensive side, bringing in linebackers with experience and a secondary now that has several players coach competing. Not saying who's going to make the 53-man roster, but it seems like it's so competitive where corners and safeties now are going to be looking around the meeting room going, I got to beat them out to make the team.
Yeah, we have competition, and I'm anxious to follow it. We think Gerrion Conley's return to health is as important as anything for this football team. He has the talent to be a shutdown corner. We like Rashawn Melvin, the man we brought in from Indianapolis. Worley has started and played a lot of football, and he's had a good offseason. And it doesn't stop there. Leon Hall is still a mean Doberman pincher that can play the nickel corner. We drafted Nick Nelson out of Wisconsin in the fourth round, and it's as competitive at safety as it is corner. But keep an eye on Marcus Gilchrist.
Yeah.
He's been the leader on this team. He's probably the most versatile defensive player that we have right now.
Paul Gunther, a defensive coordinator, they talk about you as a mad scientist back in the day. How intense is he? I know he's up in the morning. He's carpooling with you. What's he like to be around? Is he one of those guys you got to kick him out of the building every once in a while?
Well, he's a great guy. I mean, I love being around him. He's a pain in the butt now to go up against. That's why he's here. At least we don't have to go up against Paul Gunther.
Right.
Unfortunately, we got to deal with his blitz packages and his bluff packages. He has a lot of defense. He gets guys to play hard. He's one of the few guys I know that can coach the defensive line, the linebackers, or the secondary. He runs a lot of these meetings himself, TJ.
Yeah.
One heck of a football coach. And he's proven that in his past.
Wrapping it up with John Gruden, I just saw George Atkinson. You welcome the legends. They're going to have alumni weekend this weekend. Your son, who I connected with again today, is here cleaning up the weights as he's lifting weights. I want to talk about Mr. Davis, Al Davis, now Mark Davis, and what this family means to you because there's been a lot of change. There's a lot of people who aren't here anymore and how you lead this team back to greatness.
Well, it's a big reason I'm here. It's probably the number one by far reason I came back. I want to try to deliver for Mark Davis and his mother and the silver and black. We got close the last time. It was a bitter feeling not being able to finish the deal against the Ravens in the AFC Championship game, and then we lost a tough one in New England. We got a long way to go to get back to those types of games, but it's an honor to be here. It's also, I think, a huge responsibility, and I take this point in my life very seriously. I'll make no promises. I'm just going to do the best I can, and I'm going to have some fun along the way.
That's John Gruden as he joined me exclusively up at Raiders training camp a few days ago. Hope you enjoyed that. You could tell by his intensity what he's doing, what he's trying to do. Especially the depth of the team is very important to him. I think he brought in players who can play all over the roster to bring in a level of competition that, quite frankly, the Raiders didn't have last year coming off a 12-win team, 12-win season. They were a 12-4 team. And going into camp last year, and again, I have positive things to say about Jack Del Rio, who was good to me, but the team didn't have a sense of urgency coming off of 12 wins. There weren't enough competition around that team in Napa. There weren't guys looking over their shoulders saying, I could lose my job if I don't play better. And it affected the team. And when the team came apart, I don't think there was enough leadership there to put it back on track. And I think what you're going to see now with Gruden is players are going to be expected to be much better leaders, and they're going to have to pick each other up a little bit better. But is that roster good enough to win this year? I don't know. I mean, he doesn't know. I think he understands that he brought in the players that he believes he can win with. Khalil Mack is key. Gerrion Conley, the news today, very disappointing if he's out with this hip injury for more than 3 weeks. I mean, the preseason starts a week from Friday. He's a guy who's got to get preseason reps. He was a first-round pick, and he didn't play. So now he's considered a rookie almost again this year, and he's hurt again up at camp. Now, the good news is I think the Raiders are being very cautious with him because he's such an important player, and it's something that I think they believe with treatment he could be better for the start of the season. Well, how do we know? We're not doctors on the radio. He's going to have to get out there somewhere in the preseason, play a preseason game, show that he could be explosive at the cornerback position, and then the Raiders could look around with Gilchrist and Carl Joseph and Gerrion Conley and Whitehead, who's playing linebacker, Khalil Mack, who I hope will be there. I expect him to be there for week one. And then with Bruce Irvin and this pass rush, the Raiders could be a much improved defense because the defense is going to be different than Paul Gunther, with Paul Gunther there. But the optimism and the key, as you always hear it in the NFL, you got to be available to play. This is the pros. I went to practice in pads yesterday, and everybody's sitting around going, oh, my God, what a day today. It's celebration. It's not like New Year's Eve. We're going to practice in pads. Phil Villapiano put it best. Back in the day, camp started after July 4th, July 4th weekend, and went into September. Pads every day, twice a day. Two-a-days in pads. And now they get to, I get 11 days in pads. They're playing football. And what happens with that, from talking to trainers and coaches over the years, is you're asking football players who know exactly what they weigh to the pound. Then you put pads on them. Then you take it off. Then you have them have non-contact. Then you ask them to have contact. You're asking them to train differently than the pace they're going to play, which to me leads to injuries and leads to inferior play. One of the things that the players collectively bargained in is that they'd have more time off in training camp. They got it. And the owners got certain things that they wanted. But I think the product is inferior because of the lack of the physicality in practice. You don't want these kids to practice in high school with pads? I'm cool. Get them out of pads, make them play flag football, do whatever you want to do. But once you get to the pros, guys are going to get hurt. And if they're going to get hurt in pads, what does that tell you about the rest of the year? There's always, I'm not talking about fluke injuries. You know, if you break your leg because you're running across the middle and someone runs into your leg, you're not injury prone. You broke your leg because it was an accident. I'm talking about guys like Gerrion Conley who have to prove that he's not injury prone. It can't be a calf, can't be a hip, can't be a knee, can't be I'm not ready to go. He's got to be ready to go because the Raiders invested a first round pick in him. And he's got to play, and he's got to play at a high level. Hope you enjoyed our connection with John Gruden, and we'll have many more of them, he told me, over the years, and it's going to be a lot of fun to be with him on the sidelines a week from Friday. Coming up, my exclusive conversation with the newest linebacker of the Silver and Black, Derek Johnson. after a brilliant career in Kansas City, what does he have left in the tank to start and lead the Raiders? Raiders need an upgrade at linebacker. He's getting up there in age, but excited to be in the silver and black. Head on out to PT's for happy hour, or my bar, the SG Bar, right at 5 o'clock. We are live from Napa, California. Raiders training camp. The newest linebacker, but one of the best in all of football, Derek Johnson, joins us on Fox Sports Radio. Thanks for doing this, Derek.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Great transition for you. I mean, you still got a lot in the tank, and this is a coaching staff that expects a lot out of you.
Yeah, they do, and that's a good thing. That's a little bit of pressure, but I think it's positive pressure. I think I've proven myself throughout my years in this league to be a guy that can be an impact player, and I don't want that to change at all. We're going by committee with linebackers, so I'm coming in and out, but at the same time, when I'm in, I need to be impact player.
I talked to Coach Gruden about Paul Gunther. I'm just getting to know him. He just seems like he is a madman when it comes to prep and film and knowing everything that you've done already before you even joined this club.
Exactly. Paul Gunther is very smart.
Yeah.
Very smart. Disguises here and there, overloading one side, showing different kind of exotic looks, but running, you know, regular coverages out of it, not always blitzing. It's a thing where, man, when we get all together, our chemistry is going to be great. And, man, this is going to be a great year for us.
How are you going to make the transition from Raider Week? The old Marty Schottenheimer back in the day, Raider Week. It was intense. Being on the radio there throughout my career, I know the Chiefs and the passion they have and the Raider fans and how they butt heads for fun. But for you, you were really the heart and soul of that team for a long time. What'd you think of the Raiders before you came here?
You know what? I've always held the Raiders in the utmost respect and a standard. Just because we know when it's Raider Week, when I was at the Chiefs, it was Hell Week. It was one of those deals where you got to come with it. If not, it's going to be a beat-up, drag-out type of game. And I don't expect anything less now that I'm over to the dark side.
Yes.
Hopefully we can make sure that that game it goes out in our favor.
Derek Johnson is our guest on Fox. I wanted to ask you about this young group of defensive players who are coming in that are going to look to you to leadership. You know, you had that leadership role in Kansas City. How do you walk into a locker room with Bruce Irvin, Khalil Mack when he eventually gets here, and what will be your role as the leader on this squad?
You know what? Oh, man, the best thing about it, it's not all on me. It's one of those things where I can come in, do what I do with the young players, help them out on and off the field. But you got a Bruce Irvin, you got Khalil Mack that's going to be coming in. You got guys that really hold the fork down and help me out, making sure this defense plays to a standard where when you see the Raiders on your schedule, you say, man, here comes that defense.
What's it like to tackle beast mode in a game?
You know what?
when he hits a hole,
you know
what is that like?
I've told everyone, even before I was on the Raiders, fans always ask me, who's the hardest person to tackle? I say beast mode, by far. Just by far. Just the combination of speed, power, strength. A guy that's very explosive. Man, to be on the same field with him, it's not that good in training camp, of course, because I'm going to be going against him. But to be on his side on Sundays, that'd be something to see.
Wrapping it up with Derek Johnson, the new helmet rule with leading with your head, as that comes into play this year. You've been playing football since you were a young boy.
Yeah.
Will that have an effect on your ability as a tackler and the fundamentals of the game for you?
Well, you know what? It's a process. It's a moving process. It's not going to be perfect. That's how football is. It's a violent sport, so you get in some kind of angles where you're going to have to use the head at times. But taking the head out of it, it's good. It's good for the game, just because it's all about your health. I mean, football's a big part of our lives, but health is over football. So you got to put that in perspective. Even though we're having fun out there, we don't want any kind of major injuries with the neck or the head. So hopefully that minimizes some injuries.
Last question. There's a lot of big games. There's a game in London this year. There's a game, obviously, Pittsburgh Sunday Night Football, but I'm sure the Kansas City game in
Kansas City at Arrowhead is going to be special for you and your family. How many friends you have back there, how many people care about you in that community as you represent this new team and go back home?
You know what? I'm sure I have some boos. I'm sure I have some
claps. I think you're going to have a lot of claps.
But at the same time, I know Kansas City appreciates what I've done there for 13 years. So that's not going anywhere, being an all-time leading tackler in Chiefs history. So, but right now, I play for the Raiders, and I'm going to help the Raiders try to win a Super Bowl. That's my main focus, and the Chiefs are on our schedule twice. So that would be exciting to go against my old teammates.
And to go against Philip Rivers and to go against the Rams on Monday night. You came at the right time with John Gruden here. I wish you nothing but success. Thank you.
Hey, thank you.
All right, Derek Johnson, newest linebacker for the Raiders, assuming he stays healthy, assuming he makes the team, which I think he should, he'll be in there. I like experienced guys at linebacker who can tackle. You know, you want a fast guy, you want an explosive guy, a guy who can rush the quarterback and intercept the football. Give me Derek Johnson, just like the Raiders had Navarro Bowman last year, a guy that you just know you can put out there and you don't have to worry about him. He's had an incredible career. And he comes over again from the rivalry of Kansas City over to Oakland. If he can stay healthy, he's another guy that's got to get the reps in, got to understand the defense of Paul Gunther. But he's a four-time Pro Bowler, and he's been a second-team All-Pro twice and a first-team All-Pro. And the guy's had a great career. If the Raiders can get another year out of him, stability. I'm a big fan of that. You get rookies that come in and play, and you hope they can play at a high level. But you look at the draft, once you get past the second or third round, you wonder who can play in this league. And they're all fighting to get a roster spot. Derek Johnson's a guy you know can play in this league. It'll be great to see him in that rivalry with Kansas City. Kansas City struggled so far in training camp with their quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. San Diego suffered a really big injury at cornerback to start off. And then Denver. Denver's breaking in a new quarterback in Case Keenum, who played really well with Minnesota, but how well will he play in the new system under John Elway's team with the Denver Broncos? If you asked me to pick the best quarterback in the AFC West, I'd look you all in the eye and say Derek Carr. Philip Rivers is going to the Hall of Fame. Yes, fact, not fiction. Philip Rivers is at the very, 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 very back end of his career. The Raiders got to find a way to beat him twice a year, even if that team's got a better roster. Because you're not facing a 24-year-old Philip Rivers. You got to beat him. Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback of Kansas City, I think Kansas City has the best roster in the AFC. But they're breaking in a quarterback who has not played in an NFL game at that level and got rid of Alex Smith, who played at an MVP level. And then Denver. Denver's really good. Denver's good on both sides of the ball, but they've had some turnover in that no-fly zone defense with Aqib Talib being gone and some of their losses there. Going to be fun to watch. Philly on top of the Red Sox, 1-0. That game's in the top of the third. Got a lot of baseball action to get to. Yankees have been very active heading into the trade deadline. What other teams are going to step up? John Paul Morosi will join me from MLB Network. He comes on at 5:30. Jeff Schwartz from SB Nation at 6 o'clock. And we'll talk to David Moore from the Dallas Morning News from Cowboys Camp.
Similar perception as far as how I guess we conduct ourselves or what we did in the locker room. And I get where Dez Bryant is coming from. He feels like everybody is against him. And I understand what transpired to a certain degree in that locker room in Dallas. Something similar happened to me when I was there. Just finished a 3-year deal, signed a 4-year extension. And then all of a sudden, months after that, I get released, just blindsided.
T.O. Terrell Owens will not be at the Hall of Fame this weekend, commenting on Dak Prescott, the situation that's happening with Dez Bryant. He had a lot to say, mostly on Dez, but very opinionated still on the Dallas Cowboys. Welcome back, JT the Brick Show. Hit us up via Twitter at JT the Brick, on Facebook also at JT the Brick. Brought to you by the Henderson Hyundai Superstore. That's on Boulder Highway in Henderson. Big sponsor of the show, looking for great deals for you. Credit issues, you come in there, they'll work it out with you. They have more deals than any dealership here in the Valley. Dez is a guy who has a big problem on his hands now. He's much better than general managers and owners think. But they don't want to touch him because they think he's going to be a cancer in the locker room. He shouldn't be. He needs a job. When you don't have a job in life, everybody, it could happen, knock wood to all of us. When you don't have a job, you got to be on your best behavior. When you don't have a job, your resume's got to be up to date. You got to be available. You got to meet with everybody. Not just for the best job. You got to meet with the middle job, the one that you might need to put food on the table. Dez Bryant went on a Twitter rant, and everybody at Napa, when I was up there with the Raiders, was talking about it. He couldn't shut his mouth because he believes that the Cowboys were running him out. When they were talking about Dez Bryant, they were talking about what they alleged to be a potential cancer. Well, he didn't handle it well. And it looks like Cleveland's the only team that wants him now. I'll stay with my prediction. Dez Bryant will be a Green Bay Packer because Aaron Rodgers needs to replace Jordy Nelson, and they haven't been able to do it. Thanks to Bobby. Our interview with John Gruden. Our exclusive interview with Derek Johnson, newest linebacker. Tomorrow, our conversation with Derek Carr, the quarterback of the Silver and Black. And the new player, the first-round pick, Colton Miller, will join us as we talk Raider football from the inside of the Silver and Black. Looney joins me at the top of the hour. Big show tonight on Fox. Thanks again to listening to Fox Sports Radio.